reading from the second letter of St. Paul to the Corinthians. Brothers and sisters, since many boast according to the flesh, I too will boast. To my shame, I say that we were too weak. But what anyone dares to boast of, I am speaking in foolishness. I also dare. Are they Hebrews? So am I. Are they children of Israel? So am I. Are they descendants of Abraham? So am I. Are they ministers of Christ? I am talking like an insane person. I am still more, with far greater labors, far more imprisonments, far worse beatings, and numerous brushes with death. 5 times at the hands of the Jews, I received 40 lashes minus one. 3 times I was beaten with rods. 1 time I was stoned. 3 times I was shipwrecked. I passed a night and a day on the deep, on frequent journeys, in dangers from rivers, dangers from robbers, dangers from my own race, dangers from Gentiles, dangers in the city, dangers in the wilderness, dangers at sea, dangers among false brothers, in toil and hardship, through many sleepless nights, through hunger and thirst, through frequent fastings, through cold and exposure. And apart from these things, there is the daily pressure upon me of my anxiety for all the churches. Who is weak, and I am not weak? Who is led to sin, and I am not indignant? If I must boast, I will boast of the things that show my weakness. Verbum Domini. From all their distress, God rescues the just. I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall be ever in my mouth. Let my soul glory in the Lord. The lowly will hear me and be glad. Glorify the Lord with me. Let us together extol his name. I sought the Lord, and he answered me, and delivered me from all my fears. Look to him that you may be radiant with joy, and your faces may not blush with shame. When the poor one called out, the Lord heard, and from all his distress he saved him.
Dominus vobiscum. Lectio Sancti Evangelii secundum Matteum.
Gloria tibi, Domine.
Jesus said to his disciples, "Do not store up for yourselves treasures on earth, where moth and decay destroy, and thieves break in and steal. But store up treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor decay destroys, nor thieves break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there also will your heart be. The lamp of the body is the eye. If your eye is sound, your whole body will be filled with light. But if your eye is bad, your whole body will be in darkness. And if the light in you is darkness, how great will the darkness be? Verbum Domini. So this is in Matthew's Gospel in the Sermon on the Mountain. And he's exhorting us, Jesus is telling us, not to focus on the treasures of this world, the treasures of the earth, because they decay, they are stolen. The moth gets at them, destroys our clothes, I guess you could say. For where your treasure is, there also will be your heart. We need to focus on the kingdom, to put the kingdom first, to seek his will. And then he also speaks of it in terms of the eye and the body, that if our eye is sound, your whole body would be filled with light. If it is bad, your whole body would be filled with darkness. And Augustine would see this as intention in the body representing our actions, what we do in the body, our actions. So our eye representing like what we're looking upon, what we're focusing on, what we're intent on, will be filling our body, our actions with goodness, with light. St. Teresa of Avila would say, the soul must not look at God with a squinting eye. One eye on God, the other on the world. You know, when someone looks at you intently, when they're really paying attention to you, now their eyes are wide open, right? They're focused. If we're just kind of squinting at God and trying to look at two things, we're divided. So the lamp of the body is the eye. Lamps cast light. The eye represents our intention, that we're open to this light of God, that we're looking at him. What are we focused on? Something that reveals this can be, what do we speak about? You know, Luke 6:45 says, for out of the abundance of the heart, his mouth speaks. Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. So what's in our heart comes out from our mouth. We speak about those things that we're really focused on. It reveals where our attention lies. So if we're speaking about worldly things all the time, sinful things, the sins of others, if we're focused on others and their faults and have resentments and fear, then we're filled with all that stuff and we're not filled with God. Or if we freely and consciously reject God, his law, or his covenant of love offered to us, we're turning in on ourselves or to finite created realities, something contrary to the divine law. So if we're committing sin, if we're violating his law, especially in something gravely disordered and mortal sin, we're freely choosing that sin, that's going to block the light from coming into the body and flowing out. St. Gregory the Great would say, unless the eye of the soul is cleansed, the divine light is not seen. The more the soul turns from carnal desires, the more it is illumined by divine grace. And you even see a freedom in people, just the way they act, interact with people. They have a freedom. They're not, the sin in looking at and being focused on the world's pleasures and things just has a way of making us small, turning us in on ourselves. We can have a certain magnanimity, a greatness to our soul. We can be open to others. We can have a freedom if we have that light being cast into our heart. So according to St. Augustine, the eye is our intention. In your whole body, he says, this phrase, that your whole body, the works are the works that one does. So a good eye, the body is filled with light and does good works. We know in the sermon, he says, blessed are the pure of heart, for they shall see God. Jesus tells us that in the Beatitudes. So our minds and hearts are to be set on God and his kingdom, and we receive his light. His light is cast into our hearts. And the light that is in us, Vatican II said so beautifully, the light that shines out from the church is a reflected light. It's beautiful, that light from God. I need a light greater than myself. I need a light purer than myself. And in our relationship with Christ, he casts that light into our hearts. St. Catherine of Siena would say, if the eye of the soul is not illumined by the true light, it sees only darkness, and the heart clings to false goods. Isn't that such a struggle in our world today? As we turn more from God, as we get more atheistic, as we get more secularized, there just seems to be this growing darkness that just seems to be encompassing more and more things. We could say that the eye symbolizes the inner man, his heart, his conscience, his intention. If we see with a pure heart, a pure conscience, pure intention, we are filled with light. Vatican II in Gaudium et Spes, the church in the modern world, it says, in the depths of his conscience, man detects a law which he does not impose on himself, but which holds him to obedience. Just think about that for a minute. Our world absolutely rebels, rejects that. In the depths of his conscience, man detects a law which he does not impose upon himself, but which holds him to obedience. That God is the divine lawgiver. By reason, by his practical act of judgment, we can discern that, using our reason, our judgment, we can discern that law and how to act in the here and now. That's our conscience working. Now, our reason can get it wrong, so it needs to be properly formed. We need to know the teachings of the church and form our conscience properly. So Gaudium et Spes goes on to say, always summoning him, our conscience, always summoning him to love good and avoid evil. The voice of conscience, when necessary, speaks to his heart, do this, shun that. For man has in his heart a law written by God to obey. It is the very dignity of man. According to it, he will be judged by it. Conscience is the most secret core and sanctuary of man. There he is alone with God. His voice echoes in his depths. In a wonderful manner, conscience reveals that law which is fulfilled by love of God and neighbor. It's in our most deepest depths, in our heart. You know, God speaks to us. That law is there to guide us. For a conscience which by degrees grows practically sightless as a result of habitual sin. So it warns us that sin causes blindness, that sin causes that eye to dim, and we don't receive that light, we don't see that light properly. If you think about it, when we look at things, we're seeing a reflected light. Light shines on an object, we see it, that light comes through our eye. And if that is opaque, if it's covered, if we've got cataracts due to sin, we can't receive that light. So properly obeying and forming our conscience leads us to the light. I think, too, that's why silence is so important, you know, to just go there with God in the depths of our heart, to have some silence, to have some time with God alone. St. Francis de Sales, the great doctor of the church on the interior life, he says that prayer places our understanding in the divine brightness and light and exposes our will to the warmth of heavenly love. There is nothing that's so effectively purging our understanding of its ignorance and our will of its depraved affections. It is the holy water that by its flow makes the plants of our good desires grow green and flourish. that cleanses our souls of their imperfections and that quenches the thirst of passion in our hearts. That prayer places our understanding in the divine brightness and light and exposes our will to the warmth of heavenly love. And we say that phrase sometimes in a responsorial psalm from the Psalms, that, Lord, give us back the joy of our salvation, that my heart needs to be warmed by this heavenly love, that I want to do good, that this stuff matters, that I want to reject sin. That has to be grace moving in my heart. I have to be open to that, and that comes into my heart, he's saying, primarily through prayer. And we could say as well, through our good works and actions, that's opening our heart. I mean, even the secular world talks about this a lot, and if you read Life, they have these things called life hacks, you know, they're like a little short article about how to do better in life, organize your day, work harder, grind it out more, right? We can read these articles, and a lot of them talk about the more you do it, the desire grows. As I develop an expertise in playing an instrument, my love for it grows. As I get more familiar with something, my love for it grows. So when we do good works, we're more drawn to the good. We like the experience that it is. When we pray and spend time with the Lord, our hearts are moved closer to Him. And that's also an aspect of prayer. We seemingly don't have answered prayer. Again, Augustine would teach, quoting the Catechism, that he's stretching our hearts to opening it up with desire for Him. That I keep praying, I'm not getting the answer I want, but maybe my heart is moving closer to Him to want what He wants in my life. It's a beautiful fruit of prayer. Teresa of Avila would say, fix your eyes on the crucified and everything will become small for you. I love that. Right? If we have problems, we could be focusing on our life and difficulties and maybe temptations. If we look at the crucifix, those things get smaller. We look at what God has done for us. We look at His crucified love for us. This other stuff isn't as overwhelming. Teresa of Avila would say, in these interior mansions, she described the spiritual life as going into this interior castle. In these interior mansions, everything depends on our gaze, the gaze of the soul. Saint Therese would say, my way is all confidence and love. I keep my eyes always on Jesus. Francis de Sales would say, the heart that seeks only God sees everything else clearly. I was recently reading a meditation comparing archery to the spiritual life. And this sister was writing this article, and she said she was trying to learn archery, taking this class, and she was failing. The arrows were missing the target. And the teacher said, you know, focus on the target and the arrows will follow. Focus on the target, the arrows will follow. So keep our eyes on Jesus. Have confidence and love in Him, and our actions will follow that. It'll be like these arrows flowing right to the target, the actions of our life, what we do. If God is our motivation, if our eyes are set on Him, if our heart is set on Him, all that we do will naturally follow in that course.